Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Glad you joined us. I'm Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise, and a very happy Friday to you. I got that right today.
You knew what day it was.
I did know what day it was. Thank you. You know what? I'm feeling very nervous with the summer coming to a fast end, but I'm trying to cram in all these summer activities that I have not done yet to try to get them all done by the end of the month. So last night I went and played putt-putt because I haven't done that all summer, and I got to do that in the summer. I shot 81, mainly because I got a lot of bad advice from my caddy on putt-putt, miniature golf.
Who was your caddy?
I'm not saying, but I've stopped payment on the check, and I used to take a cart, but I thought, you know, they say that walking is good exercise, so I started walking the miniature golf course.
You got to start somewhere, right?
I feel a lot better about that. And my doctor also said, too, if you really want to know exactly how far you've walked, walk around a high school track. And believe it or not, there's one two blocks from my house, but I have not done that yet because I have no way of getting there. So there we go. All right, pastors. We're going to talk about pastors and two pastors today. And are you burned out? Because if you are, you're going to want to listen up to this hour, because there is pastors in crisis today because of the schedules they keep. And they're struggling, and the bottom line is many are desperate and need help. And we're going to figure out how to come alongside them, give them the love, the grace, and the help that they need. Today, my guest is Larry Magnuson. He's written a book called Pastors Are People Too, What They Won't Tell You, But You Need to Know. So there you go. And he is on the studio line from Colorado. Hello, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I appreciate you saying that. A lot of people, when they find out it's me and not Susie, they're quite disappointed. Just ask the listeners.
Well, I'm glad to be with you.
Okay. All right. So this book, Pastors Are People Too, this is a five-alarm fire because there are a lot of pastors that are very burned out. And I want to talk about all of that today. But before I get to that wonderful content that's in your book, I want to just give our listeners a chance to find out what's on your heart. What scripture verse has God laid on your heart lately that you want to share with our listeners?
You know, there are so many. I think the one that I have spent a lot of time recently and across the years is that simple verse in John where it says Jesus came full of grace and truth. And the blending of being grace-giving people that also are sharing the truth, that's something that I think only the Spirit allows us to do well. Mm-hmm. But that's really what's been on my heart.
That's great. And I would also love to know, now you're a pastor, so I would love to hear your faith journey and really how you came to faith in Christ. It probably happened early on as a kid, I'm guessing. You were a pastor's kid, so tell us about that story.
You know, I am a pastor's kid, and I came to faith in a church that my dad was serving. My dad grew up in a very, not just dysfunctional home, my dad grew up in what I refer to as a dangerous home. And in fact, all the members of his family died when he was about 12 years old, and he was living on the streets. And an aunt came to rescue him and brought him into her home. That made a profound difference, but Dad never figured out how to deal with his own issues. Mm-hmm. And he took a small church in Minneapolis and grew it into a large congregation. And it was in that church that I found Christ as my Lord and Savior. And though I said I would never, ever, 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 ever go into ministry, that's where I felt the call.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad had moral failure. And he was, available 24/7 and neglected his own journey of faith, his own personal issues. And unfortunately, that's happening too much.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy and I came together and said, what can we do to try and help churches? There are things that pastors need to be doing, but there are also things that churches need to be doing.
Yeah. Well, let's get started on that. I know you are the founder and president of Pastor Serve. It's a ministry that provides care, counseling, and friendship to pastors. You've provided a place in Colorado that they can come for a whole week and get refreshed. Is that correct?
Well, that's Jimmy's organization, Pastor Serve,
okay.
And that's in Kansas City. I am the president of Sunscape Retreats. We do retreats for pastors week-long where we get them out of their norm and allow them to really do some deep work in their own journey of faith as well as deal with whatever issues are before them. So it's two organizations that have come together to make this book happen.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So I want to find out, I remember a pastor saying once that if you are consumable, you will be consumed.
Absolutely right. Pastors have to set their own boundaries, and they have to draw lines. But boy, it makes it a whole lot easier when people in the church understand that need and are willing to come alongside pastors and say, you know, it's okay to go home and see your family and go to your kids' ball game. Those are critical things for you as well as the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to what percentage of a church's congregation is putting that kind of pressure on the pastor.
Well, you know, a very large percentage. Some people don't mean to be doing that. But, you know, I did a seminar once where I asked about 40 people to write on a 3x5 card their top three expectations of their senior pastor. You know, if you took them individually, maybe they were realistic, but you combined the list, and I'm not sure Jesus himself could have fulfilled that list.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people, without even knowing, put expectations on their pastor without realizing that the rest of the congregation is doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there with technology and everything else, there are a million more opportunities to connect to people, and they do, especially if the pastor gives out his email address. So
absolutely,
you can be working around the clock now, can't you?
Absolutely. And you know, that's been true for a long time. It's just technology makes it even more of a dilemma for many in ministry. You know, the people needs, the compassion fatigue, the weariness that comes in trying to care for all the people, whether it's a congregation of 200 or it's a congregation of 2,000.
Mm-hmm. Larry, what if the pastor is a little bit of a control freak? Then what?
Well, you know, this is a part of a series of books, and we, in most of the rest of the books, we talk to pastors directly. This one is for pastors, but also for the lay people.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of issues that pastors have to be aware of, and there are those that whether they are controlling or whether they are people-pleasing, there are pastors that need to get away and take some good hard look into their own journey and their own issues personally.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some that want to be available 24/7. The problem is, in the end, it will take them to a place that they never intended to get to.
Interesting. All right. Now, when you deal with these pastors in counseling, what would you say are like the top three things that they come back to you with that they're suffering from the most?
You know, loneliness is certainly there. Pastors never really getting a chance to be themselves, to be away from the role. Loneliness is certainly there. The needs of people that never end, along with the expectations of people. And then, to some extent, as I mentioned, there is compassion fatigue, a weariness.
Mm.
that is there. Now, if I were talking to, and we do, we have the pastor and their spouse there, spouses would say, you know, it's time with the family that becomes a dilemma with both the wife or the children.
Mm-hmm. Can you find do these pastors find themselves secretly resenting their congregations for what the congregations are maybe putting them through, unbeknownst to the congregation?
Well, they can. They can resent, but for a lot of pastors, they don't get to that resentment stage. They first of all, drive themselves to the point of exhaustion. And, you know, one of the first things that goes when a pastor is available 24/7 to all of the people and all the needs, the first thing that goes is their own walk with Jesus.
Mm.
That's what gets put on the shelf. And the second thing is their marriage.
Those are two critical components of anybody's life, let alone a pastor's.
Absolutely.
So as they go about the business of serving God for the flock, equipping and training their congregation, they're pretty much spending all of their energy doing that and not getting time alone, especially the way Jesus would go out into the wilderness for a couple of days after some time of ministry.
That's exactly right. That is modeled in Jesus' life. He went away to pray. He went away to rest. He had his disciples. Mark chapter 6, he says, you know, come away with me to a quiet place and get some rest. We all need that,
mm-hmm.
and pastors need that. They also need people that come alongside them, like Aaron and Hur with Moses. We all need help to fulfill the role that God has called us to.
Yeah. Larry, this is going to be a great hour. And if you have an interest in getting one of Larry's books called Pastors Are People Too, you can email Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at myfaithradio.com and enter the drawing to be one of the lucky people to win one of several books we have available. And if you also have a concern about your pastor or you think you might have a question for Larry, you're free to give us a call at 1-877-933-2484, because we don't really exactly know how to handle our pastors because they might be suffering and we don't know it. So let's get our radar up. We're going to take a little break. You're listening to Live the Promise. Be right back. Welcome back to Live the Promise. Thanks for joining us today. I'm talking to Larry Magnuson, and I have to apologize to you, Larry. I actually gave the listeners the wrong bio information. That's so like me. I'm such a goofball.
Happens to all of us.
Do you forgive me, my friend?
Absolutely. That's no problem.
All right. Let me get it correctly now for the listeners. Larry Magnuson and his wife Barbara lead Sunscape Retreats, a ministry that for more than 30 years has provided week-long experiences in really quite spectacular settings designed for the challenges that pastoral couples face. You're a graduate of Bethel University and North Park Seminary, and you have served as a youth pastor, associate pastor, church planter, and lead pastor. You have 4 kids. Any grandkids?
I do. I have 6 grandkids. One just arrived a couple weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations. Boy or girl?
Thank you. It's a little girl.
Okay, awesome. All right, let's get back to business at hand. When you talked about in the book the fact that no two pastors are alike, and that's probably absolutely true, and you also said that there are pastors are terrible at self-care, and you talked about the tale of the two Oswalds. Would you share that with our listeners?
Sure, sure. And this is not mine. This is actually comes from a man that works in the Free Church. But Oswald Chambers, who has written some profound books that
mm-hmm.
had a profound impact in his life, he also was driven constantly, to the point that he died very early. And while that may have been God's plan for his life, It might have been time for him to go home. There were a lot of people that say, you know, if he had only taken care of some of the medical issues, some of the exhaustion that was a part of his life, maybe he could have had an impact that would be even greater.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Oswald Chambers, who
Sanders.
I'm drawing a blank here. He was with China Mission.
Sanders.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. That's my doing it wrong here.
That's okay.
But Oswald Sanders was in the same place. But a doctor got in his face and said, you must rest. You must take care of yourself. And he lived a long life. Now, whether that is always God's plan, he has something for people, how long their life is. But there is a sense in which far too many pastors are driving them to a place, themselves to a place, where their ministry is in jeopardy in a lot of different ways, from burnout, from exhaustion, from depression, even moral failure can come into play. And what we're trying to say is that pastors need, like all of us need, time to rest, time to spend with the Lord, time to spend with their spouse, time to spend with their family, time to play, time to enjoy life, so that they can be better. Self-care is not selfish.
Mm-hmm.
It is for the sake of the people we love and we serve.
Mm-hmm. I love the old fable. I think it's George Washington was asked if he had an hour, or if he had 6 hours to cut down a tree, how would he go about it? And he said, I'd spend the first hour sharpening the axe.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I think there's a lot of pastors out there with dull saws, dull axes.
Absolutely. You know, we drift away from the very thing that brought us into ministry, and that is our relationship with the Lord, our time in prayer, our time in the Word, our time with our families. And we get to a place where serving becomes so fatiguing, so overwhelming, that we can be not as effective in the very calling that God has given us.
Mm-hmm. Larry, what signs can we look for in our pastors to find out if they're burned out or exhausted? I mean, if they show up Sunday in their bathrobe, we might go, "Yeah, he's probably burned out."
Yeah, that would be pretty clear.
That's more of an obvious one. What are less obvious ones?
A lot of it is you when you talk to pastors, you can hear exhaustion in them. You can listen in their sermons sometimes. You can hear that exhaustion. When they are going to meetings or they're meeting with people long days and most days, you will begin to see it. And some do a better job of covering it than others, but the role of the lay people is to help make sure their pastors are healthy so that they can lead the church to health.
Mm-hmm. All right. Talk about elder boards and how sometimes elder boards, they can be the ones dictating what's happening to the pastor, if he's going to get a raise or get demoted or fired. A lot of pressure comes on him from the elder board, and that's usually nine people, right?
Absolutely. You know, when pastors are forced out of a church, it is typically a group of nine people or less that are really at the heart of that. And so it can be a very small group, even in a large congregation. But elders play a critical role. And the role that Jimmy and I think that is often neglected is that part of pastor's role, a part of the elder's role, is to care for the pastor and the family, to make sure that they are taking advantage of days off and that they're taking vacation and study leaves, that they are working a reasonable amount of hours, that they are, that they're healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually. Pastors can't do it alone, and elders sometimes become those that are critical of the pastor instead of those that come alongside and say, how can we help you?
So oftentimes pastors are waiting for permission?
That's something we talk to pastors about all the time. They can't wait for permission.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think so.
But sometimes, a lot of times, pastors fall into the trap of people-pleasing. And we spend a lot of time talking to them that that's not the calling they have. But it's so easy to have that become a part of their journey. And sometimes, yeah, they do need some permission. Sometimes they need somebody to just come alongside and say, you know, Pastor, we care about you, and it's been a rough road. Do you need to take some time to make sure you're spending on your own spiritual life and your own emotional life?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break here in a couple of minutes, but I want to get the wheels turning as to how you can approach your pastor and start this conversation without him feeling threatened or overwhelmed, or, again, you're coming to him because you're genuinely concerned and you want to be his advocate. Do you have any counsel as to what are some of the things we can say to engage him without him getting defensive or threatened in any way?
Yeah, that is often a problem. Pastors can feel threatened in that. But a lot of times it begins with encouragement. You know, it's easy to find something to criticize a pastor for. We all have weaknesses. But sometimes the greatest thing we can do is say, you know, Pastor, I appreciate that you're very good one-on-one. You're very good preaching. You're very good whatever it might be as an administrator. And not just come with the problems, but really come first with the encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody responds pretty good to encouragement. I mean, if you start affirmation, even a handwritten note would probably take him aback, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. We have pastors who many times say to us, you know, if I had one person in the church that really cared and really understood and wanted to come alongside me, it would have a profound impact.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there are those people. I think there are a number of people in virtually every church, but we haven't found a way to link those people with the pastor in a way that's helpful.
So we need to give people in churches permission to be encouraged to go do that, to connect to their pastors and ask for how we can better serve them and encourage them and affirm them and see that they get the time off they need.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right.
All right. Well, if you want to get involved in this conversation, I know you probably have a concern about your own pastor. You have a question for Larry. Give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. We'll take a little break, and when we come back, lots more with Larry Magnuson. Pastors are people too. Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We'll be right back. Thanks for being with us today. Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. So glad you joined us on Live the Promise. If you want to enter the drawing for Larry's book, Pastors Are People Too, you can email Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at myfaithradio.com. Make sure you put your name, address, and title of the book in the email, and you'll be entered to win. I will do the drawing after the show. And if you really want me to pick you, well, just I will, okay? So we'll find out who will be the lucky winner. Larry, as I was going through your book, talk about your thoughts about being friends with your pastor. Should I try to be my pastor's friend?
You know, friendship is not something that just naturally always happens. There are lots of people that can be supporters, encouragers, helpers, for their pastor. But you have to understand there are a lot of pastors who have been burned. They are very cautious about who they share with and at what level, that deep sense of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes there are people that want to manipulate the pastor through friendship. So pastors are cautious. Don't start out saying, I want to be your friend. It's really, I want to be your encourager. I want to be your supporter. I want to be your advocate. I want to be the one that is making sure that you're taking the time you need and that you're going to the educational seminars that you need to be the pastor. That whole issue of friendship, you can imagine it's hard for a pastor to try in a congregation of 200, 800 people to pull out a few to be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it difficult.
Mm-hmm. So encourage, be an advocate, stand up for them, but maybe not wedge your way into friendship unless it happens organically. Am I hearing that correctly?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
And there's probably a good chance a pastor might come alongside someone who has a similar hobby or interest, and they might organically develop a friendship. But to try to overdo or push yourself into a friendship could just end up backfiring.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, a lot of pastors, you know, we're not using the title so much anymore, you know, Pastor Larry or Pastor Jimmy, but there are a lot of pastors that like to be able to set aside their role and just be a person,
mm-hmm.
just be Larry. Those times and those situations where they're not the one that's called on to pray, they're not the one that's called on to answer spiritual questions, they're just a person. Those are rich moments that many pastors don't experience very often.
Mm-hmm. Larry, let's talk a little bit about how we view pastors when it comes to compensation. Things like benefits, salary, expense accounts. I mean, sometimes I look at pastors and I always think, well, you got it kind of good, because sometimes I see you get a complimentary membership to a country club and people open up their gorgeous resort homes to you to get away and I go, there are some perks to being a pastor.
Sure, and that does happen, but it happens more rarely than you think for a lot of pastors. We would love to see more people who have places where pastors could get away with their families. We would love to see that. I wish there were more pastors that got memberships to health clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So that they would stay a little more physically healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of times we sit with pastors who have served for 30 years and they have no pension. They have no retirement. They have lived on the edge for a lot of their years. And it's sad, you know, when you have a pastor who has served, you know, for 50 and 60 years, and they're coming to a point in time when they really don't know how they're going to financially put the pieces together.
Mm-hmm. What about things like expense accounts and things, you know, ways that that we're equipping our pastor to do more effective ministry and not have it feel like it's a drain of any kind?
Yeah, those are the kinds of things. And, you know, every church is unique. Every pastor is unique. Every setting is unique. But that's where there need to be leaders who come alongside the pastor and say, how can we enable you in a way that is reasonable for our congregation, but also allows you to be able to do the kinds of ministry that you're called to do? And really looking at expense accounts, looking at continuing education,
mm-hmm.
looking at programs that Pastor Serve has, or maybe a Sunscape retreat, to keep your pastors as healthy as they can be so that they can help produce a healthy church.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about church, about the pastor's families, the wife, kids. I mean, that the wife has got obviously a big role, and the kids are always in a position where if they're not getting dad's attention because he's consumed in church, the kids could play an ultimate act of rebellion if they really wanted to and make dad look bad in front of all the church members.
Yeah, and even, Bill, even more sad in my eyes is the number of preacher's kids, and I'm one of them, but preacher's kids that really are so disillusioned about the church because of what they have experienced personally or what they've watched their parents go through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the preacher's kids are just kids, and they go through stages. Some of them, you know, do all the right things all the time. Some of them do not. We have a son, love him dearly, but he lived life on the edge. And, you know, if there was a way to get in trouble, sometimes Luke was in the middle of that. But there were people who were critical of him, and there were people that were almost in their criticism driving him away. And then there were those who just loved him for who he was. And they had a profound impact. Pastors' kids are just kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to pastors' wives, you know, sometimes it's been said the hardest role in the church is the pastor's wife. She carries the burden, but she doesn't know what to do with what she sees in her husband. She sees the hurt. She sees the anguish. And she doesn't know what to do with it. And at times, and this is a pastor's problem, the church can become the other woman in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a loneliness that comes to pastors' wives.
Mm-hmm. What can we do about, I mean, a pastor will get up on any given day, and he might find himself with an ER call. He might be at the hospital
yep.
visiting someone who's all of a sudden in a life and death situation. And as he's walking out of the hospital, he might remember that there's also someone else from the church on the second floor dying of cancer. Pop down and visit them. And it's not even 9:30 yet in the morning. And
these
are real emotions that you either step into and live with or you are detached from. But I'm guessing that most pastors are living these with passion and conviction and love and grace. And when do they get their time to grieve all this pain?
Yeah, and that's exactly what Pastor Serve and Sunscape Retreats is all about. But here's the thing. When I was early in ministry, we had a young congregation, church plant. We had a girl, Rachel, 7 years old, and over a period of 6 months, she went through a tragic death due to cancer. And no one can comprehend what Rachel's mom and dad went through. But, you know, I walked with them for 6 months through times when there was a little bit of hope, when then that would crash. And there would be maybe some more hope, and then it would crash. And I had no recognition of the impact that journey was taking in my life. And then you'd go to a marriage that was falling apart. And then you would go to somebody whose child was in a struggle of one kind or another. The emotional toll is great. And pastors need, and you said it before, that sometimes they need encouragement or even permission to take care of themselves because they don't have somewhere they can go
mm-hmm.
to unload. We had a man just recently in one of our retreats. A year ago, he lost his wife. Since then, in his church, he had done 52 funerals. You can imagine what it's like for him, every funeral that he was doing for people in the church, and then the feelings that that brought back about his wife's death. Now, that's an exception, but there are too many pastors out there who are serving, giving, loving passionately, but it takes its toll.
Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine how painful that must have been for him in that situation as he's going about just doing his job. And then he's dealing with all his personal feelings that probably were brought to the surface at every one of those funerals.
Yeah, we talk a lot about compassion fatigue, and we talk about secondary stress. That is the stress that a pastor carries for people within their congregation, people that have lost their job, people that are struggling in their marriage, and you take on some of their stress. Now, pastors have to learn how to deal with that well. This isn't all the responsibility of the congregation, but congregation, people in the congregation can have a profound impact, and they can help more than you can imagine in just a note they send or a word that they share with their pastor.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk a little bit more about your Sunscape retreats. Obviously, you get pastors that show up at your doorstep exhausted, in need of time to recharge their batteries. I know you can't be necessarily sharing with our audience what they say to you, but I'm curious, do some of these pastors show up so exhausted they've lost their sense of humor, they feel despondent, or are they more middle of the road? I've had some rough bumps. I've had some good high times ministering, but I just sort of need a break.
You know, we would love both at Pastor Serve and at Sunscape Retreats, we would love to do more preventative work. That is, pastors and their spouses that are in a good place, and we're trying to keep them strong. But we do far too much interventive, and it runs the gamut. I can't share personally what's happened, except in a few occasions where I've been given permission. Mm-hmm. We had a gal that came, and I will never forget her. She walked in to the room to spend time with my wife and I, and we said, "What do you want to talk about?" And she was crystal clear. She says, "I am done with ministry. I'm done with David, her husband, and I'm done with God." And that isn't that unusual, that by the time pastors' spouses are reaching out for help, they've gotten to the end. Now, Rosie, this gal, she made an amazing turnaround. But she hadn't grieved some of her losses. She had negative things done to her. She needed a place where she could just unload. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, Dave and Rosie are serving the Lord in amazing ways today. Mm. They just needed a place that they could talk.
Yeah. All right, Larry, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we have one more segment with Larry Magnuson. If you have a question for him, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. So glad you're listening today. Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. We'll be right back. We're talking to Larry Magnuson. He's written a book called Pastors Are People Too. And Larry, you might notice we've had no calls today, which probably means everybody's afraid to talk about their pastor.
Very likely.
Yeah,
very likely.
They're a little nervous. They don't want the call traced. So let's talk about caring for your pastor. Let's try to get as practical as we can in this last 10 minutes. Things we can do. For example, how about never say negative things about your pastor or church in front of family or others? Talk directly to your pastor when you have concerns. That's a loving thing to do, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you have no idea how much that is appreciated by a pastor. And, you know, it's far easier to receive criticism, whether you're a pastor or a layperson, when somebody comes in first and says, here are the positive things, here are good things, here are things that I deeply appreciate, but I need to talk to you about this concern.
Mm-hmm.
And just lay it straight for the pastor. Too often people just vanish. They leave the church and there's never any contact. There's never any chance to understand the why. And conflict is a major stressor for all of us, but certainly for pastors. And life within the church often is full of conflict.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about something as simple as writing a note to your pastor about something you recently learned from a sermon?
Yeah. You know, almost every pastor I know has a file of notes that people have written that are encouraging and are expressing gratitude, and a file that is full of notes that are hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to be able to say there are far more files, far more notes in the positive file than in the negative, but too many times that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
A note can really make a difference because a pastor can read it and reread it. Mm-hmm. I have notes that every once in a while I still read.
They just mean so much, don't they?
They do.
A little note
they
of
do.
Encouragement goes a long way.
Yep.
And pastors consider themselves to be caregivers, which is great, and it may be hard for your pastor to receive care, so be relentless. Say more about that.
You know, we who are caregivers are often the poorest at allowing people to care for us. And we talk a lot with pastors that, you know, you need to let people care for you. You need to receive it. You need to see it as an act of love and of appreciation. Pastors need to receive those notes, those expressions, those gifts. They need to receive them, and people in the congregation need to know that they make a huge difference. Even if your pastor has a hard time receiving them, they often are profound in their influence. You know, sometimes we have Pastor Appreciation Month. The congregation does something. They recognize their pastor. But honestly, it is the appreciation that comes, you know, months after pastor appreciation,
mm-hmm.
You know, 6 months later. When a pastor is having a particularly difficult day and then he gets a note that says, I learned something in your sermon that has altered my life and I want you to know it's making a difference. Those are treasures.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we've got a caller on the line, Eric from St. Paul. You have a question? Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I heard you say you had no callers come in, and this is a subject that I'm pretty passionate about, so I figured I'd ask a question here. My question is, what have you noticed when pastors have other staff members who can come around them and even take specifically some of the counseling load off? Have you noticed that that has been a huge relief for the pastor, just a way to help extend the longevity of their ministry?
Great question. Larry, what's your response to that?
You know, pastors have different gifts, and recognizing the gifts of a pastor and the weakness of a pastor and helping to have either staff people or lay people that come alongside them, particularly in their areas of weakness, allowing them to focus their attention on their strength is a great help. And, you know, sometimes there are pastors, and I'm one of them, that aren't as gifted in administration, in a detail work. I can't tell you what it meant when there was a lay person or when the elder said we're going to hire somebody to come alongside and do some of that administrative work. Find out what the weakness and the gifts of your pastor are and help them to use their gifts and to find people to come alongside them in their weakness.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Larry, I know that ministry is hard on marriage, and maybe it's a really good idea every once in a while if you can provide like a special gift, maybe tickets to a sporting event or theater or something, and that can be a really nice blessing. And plus, it helps create a date night for your pastor. But the caveat is don't include, don't say there's four tickets and we're coming with.
You know, there are times when it's wonderful when you're invited to be with a couple in the church and do something. But there are also those wonderful times when people say, here is just for the two of you to get out and away. And even, you know, we'll help provide the child care so you can get out and enjoy an evening. Sometimes the schedule of a pastor becomes so full, the time that he has with his spouse, with his wife, you know, it comes at the end of the day when everybody is too tired to communicate well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's also important to have an awareness when the pastor takes a risk of some kind to, even if it didn't work out, let him know you appreciated the fact he was taking a risk.
Yeah, you know, people are often critical of all kinds of things. You know, we're not changing. We're changing too fast. We're changing in this area, but we don't like the change in this area. It's never easy to lead a group of people that have such a wide range of opinions and passions. But when your pastor is really seeking to lead, that encouragement that says, you know what, maybe it didn't go the way that I wanted, but I appreciate that you are working to take us and help us to become what the church is really meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that one thing that all pastors need is lots of prayer from people in the church. And I hope that that's going on. I hope that's not lip service, that, hey, pastor, we'll be praying for you, and then not pray for that person. And we're sort of reaching the point in the show where I know there's pastors and pastors' wives who are listening, and they probably are in need of prayer for their own time of renewal and encouragement. Larry, I was wondering if you wouldn't bless them with a prayer right now.
I sure will. Father, I just thank you for the men and the women that you have called to lead in your church in a variety of different roles. And you know the passion that they have to help others know you and serve you, and for the church to be what you have desired the church to be in the midst of this world. But Father, you also know how easy it is for us to be consumed by the hurts, the wounds, the struggles, the losses. And I just pray that you would bring into the lives of pastors those people that can come alongside them, and that you would help them to know how to set the boundaries. And more than anything else, that they would take the time to walk with you and let your Spirit guide them as they seek to serve you, in the name of Jesus.
Larry, what I love about your book is it's got so much practical information. It's got so many encouraging things, and I think it's great to create an awareness for people in churches today to have their radar up to go and ask the pastor how we can encourage you, affirm you, and be there to stand in defense of what they're doing. Love on them. Pray for them. This has really been a fun book to go through. I appreciate you being such a wonderful guest.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here, and I just appreciate all those people out there that are doing something for their pastor to help make a difference.
Amen. Larry, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. And
I will do that. Thank you as well.
You're welcome. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening. This will be up on the website at myfaithradio.com if you want to pass this on to maybe a pastor friend who needs some encouragement. Thanks for listening. Hour 2 is on the way.